This week's Parshios, Matos, and Masei. Interestingly, based upon the pasuk of Isha Haferam VaHashem Yislach La, her husband has annulled her vows and Hashem will forgive her. The Gemara Meseches Nazir Daf Chof Gimel Amid Aleph tells us a fascinating story based upon that pasuk. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, Isha Haferam VaHashem Yislach La. Her husband has annulled her vows and Hashem will forgive her. What is it talking about? Be'isha sheheifer lo baila, v'hi lo yoda ha'kosu medaber. The pasuk is talking about a woman whose husband has annulled her vow on her behalf, but she was unaware, v'hi lo yoda, she was unaware that he had done so. Shehitzricha kapara uslicha. And it teaches that she needs a kapara, an atonement, and a forgiveness. When Rabbi Akiva would reach this pasuk, he would cry. Haya boche, he would cry, and he would say, "Uma mishin iskavim la'alos biyado basar chazir, ba'ala biyado basar taleh." Ta'on kapara uslicha. Wait a second, says Rabbi Akiva. If someone who had kavana, intention, that pork should come into his hand, but instead it was lamb's meat that came into his hand, and the halacha dictates ta'on kapara uslicha, he's in need of an atonement and forgiveness. Hamiskavein la'alos biyadar basar chazir, then someone who intends that pork should come into his hand, the Allah biyado basar chazir, and indeed pork came into his hand, al achas kama v'kama, how much more so he is in need of an atonement and a forgiveness. And ultimately, this is what the Rashi comments, is what this pasuk in our parsha is talking about. It's talking about a husband who annulled a vow and a wife didn't even realize it. But nonetheless, Rabbi Akiva comes to this pasuk of Isha HaFeiram VaHashem Yislach La, and he begins to cry. Because if someone didn't even have the kavana, his intent was to have pork come into his hand, but instead it was kosher meat that came into his hand. He needs a kapara uslicha. Then someone who actually intends to put pork into his hand, and he does put pork into his hand, how much more so is needed an atonement and forgiveness? Now, what I'm bothered by is, where do we ever find Rabbi Akiva crying? Says the Gemara of Rabbi Akiva, when he came to this pasuk kaya boche, he would cry. We all know that Rabbi Akiva was the ultimate optimist. Gamzu Latova, Talmud of Nachum Yish Gamzu. We all know the famous Gemara in Daf Chav Dalet Amar Aleph, Ukfar Haya Rabbi Gamliel in Meseches Makos. Ukfar Haya Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva, Mahalchin Boderech. This is after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. We're now in those times where we're mourning the destruction. They were walking, they were traveling, Boderech on the way. Vishamu Kol Hamona Sheromi. Right? And again, they heard the sound of the Roman crowds in the plaza. They began to weep. Rabbi Akiva misachek, and Rabbi Akiva, he began to laugh. And then we have another story where Shuv Pam Achas Hayu Olin Yerushalayim, on another time, those great Talmid Chachamim, Talmudical scholars, they were coming to Yerushalayim in the aftermath of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Kevan Shehigiyu. When they came, Laharat Sofim Karu Bideyam, they tore their clothing. And Kevan Shehigiyu Laharabayis, when they came to the Harabayis, Ro'u Shual, they saw a Shual, a fox, that was coming out of the Beis Koshe HaKadoshim, Yischilu Ein Bochin. They began to cry, and again, Rabbi Akiva Misakeg. Rabbi Akiva began to smile, and Amarlo, they said to him, Ribnei Ma'ato Misakeg, why are you laughing? Amar Lahem, he says, Ribnei Ma'atem Bochim, why are you crying? They said to him, it's in this place where this fox came out, the Torah says, Vahazar HaKrev Yumas, that a non-Kohen who approaches this place shall die. V'achshav shu'alim hilchu bo v'lanivke. Now foxes are prowling all over the place, and you're not going to cry. Rabbi Akiva came, the ultimate optimist, and said, it's for this reason, the kach ani misake, dechsiv, it says, v'idoli edim ne'emonim es uri ha'kohen, v'sachariyo ben yivrachiyo, v'chimayin min uri ha'etz ha'zachariyo. Uriah was B'Migdash Rishon, Zachariah was in the Second Temple. Elatola HaKosub Nebuwasul Shel Zachariah. The Gemara tells us that the Psukim made the Nebuah of Zachariah dependent upon the Nebuah of Uriah. And the Gemara tells us that if there's a destruction, there has to ultimately be a Beis HaMikdash that is going to be rebuilt. And says Rabbi Kiva, it's for that reason why I'm laughing, because if there's a destruction, ultimately there's going to be a redemption. We see Rabbi Akiva doesn't cry. He's misachek, two stories back to back. He was misachek, the ultimate misachek. It's everyone else who's crying. And yet we find in this Gemara, perhaps the only Gemara of its kind. Meseches Nazir Daf Chav Gimel. Amad Aleph, Chav Gimel Amad Aleph, that when Rabbi Akiva would reach this pasuk, Hayaboche, he began to cry. Why would he cry? And that's our first question. The Psukim tell us, in the first of our two parshios this week, Klal Yisrael obviously has many different shvatim, and all of them, kim'at, basically were going to inherit land in Eretz Yisrael, though it was B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain that asked to have their chelek, their portion outside of Eretz Yisrael. As the Psukim tell us, U'mikne Rav hayolev ne Ruvain u'bnei Gad otzumo, that B'nai Gad, the children of Gad and Ruvain, they had many livestock. It was very great. Vayiruas Eretz Yazerves Eretz Gilad. Vihineim Hamakom Mikom Mikneh. They saw this land and they saw that their livestock had so much room to roam and to wander. Vayavo B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvain. And B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvain, they came. Vayomer El Moshe V'El Elazar Kohen. They said, Im Matzanu Chein Be'inecha. Yutan es ha'aretz hazos la'avodecha la'achuzah. Please, give us this land. Don't bring us, al tavi renu es hayarden, don't bring us over the Jordan River. Moshe Rabbeinu hears this. Vayomer Moshe l'bnei Gad b'nei Ruvain, ha'acheichem yavo la'melchama v'atem teshvu po. Your brothers are going out to battle and you're going to live here? Really? And then Moshe Rabbeinu is incredulous and he continues. And he says, Ko asu avoseichem, this is what your fathers did. B'shalchi osa mikadesh barnea liros hazaretz. They went up and they saw the land, and what did they do? They dissuaded the rest of Klal Yisrael from coming into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was incredulous. He was so upset. But this is where it gets a little bit tricky. If you look in Parshas Vezos Habracha, the Torah tells us about the Shevet of God. The Torah tells us, Vayar reishis lo, kisham chelkas michokech tzafun, vayese roshe am tzidkas Hashem asa, u mishpatav im Yisrael.
So it says of God that he chose the first portion for himself, for that is where the lawgiver's plot is hidden. Who is the lawgiver? None other than Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, says Rashi, God had asked for himself part of the territory of the land of Sichon and Og. Why? Why did God choose that area? Says Rashi, because he knew that that's the area, that's the chelek, where Moshe Rabbeinu would be buried. Question's obvious. What is the reason that B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven had requested the land outside of Eretz Yisrael? On one hand, it seems from our parsha, in Parshas Matos, Perek Lamed Beis, the reason was Umiknei Rav Hayol Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. They had an abundant livestock, and this was a perfect place for them to come and to raise their cattle and their sheep. And when Moshe Rabbeinu heard this, he was incredulous. Perhaps we'll have greater understanding why he was incredulous. But in Parshas Vezos HaBracha, it seems to be that the reason why God wanted that area outside of Eretz Yisrael was because they knew that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't going into Eretz Yisrael, and it was in this chelek, in this part, this portion, that Moshe Rabbeinu would be buried. So what's the reason? It seems like from the psukim, there's a stira, there's a contradiction. On one hand, the psukim tell us that it was because of Miknei Rav. On the other hand, it seems to be because this is the place that Moshe Rabbeinu was ultimately going to be buried. So we have to try to reconcile, try to understand what's going on here. That's our second question. And our third and final question is based upon the opening of the second of the Parshios of this week, Parshios Maaseh. And Rashi comes and focuses on Lama Nichtavu HaMasaos Halalu. Why is it that the Torah, where every word is so precise, and the Torah itself is condensed, only telling us what we need, especially when it's a story? The Torah is not a historical book. And therefore, why is it that the Torah in the second of the two Parshios of this week goes into great length telling us all of their journeys? Why is it necessary? Lama nichtavu hamasaos halalu? So Rashi comes and gives us two answers. One is lahodia chasodav shel makom, to make known the chesed, the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sha'af al pi shegozer aleihem, that even though he was gozer, he decreed upon them, letaltalam ulahaniyam bamidbar, to move them and to make them wander in the midbar, the desert. Lo somar, you shall not say, shehayunoyim umetaltalim, that they were wandering and moving about, mimasa lemasa, from journey to journey, kol arba'im shana, all 40 years. V'lo haiso lehem menucha, and they had no rest. Sharei ein kan, for only there were arba'im ushtayim masaos, there were only 42 journeys. Say mehem arba esrei, take away 14, shekulam hayu b'shana rishona, right? Those are the first year, Kodem Gzera, before the Gzera. And all you have left is very few in the span of 39 years. That's incredible. It's an unbelievable chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Furthermore, There's another idea. So in the 40th year, Nimsa, Shekol Shmono Shloshim Shana, that the entire 38 years between the first year and the last, all they did was 20 journeys. And this is Miyasodol Shereb Moshe Hadarshan. Rabbi Tanchuma Darash Bo Drash Acheres, he gave a different explanation. Mashal Amelech, it's comparable to a king, Shehaya Bino Chole, whose son was ill. V'holicho L'makom Rachok, and he took him to a distant place, L'raposo, to cure him. Kevan Shehayu Chozer, and once they started back, Hiskil Aviv Mone, his father began to count Kol HaMasos, all of the journeys. Amar Lo, he said to his son, Kan Yashnu, here we slept, Kan Karnu, here we felt cold, Kan Chashashlis Roshech Bekulu, here you had a headache, so forth and so on. In other words, it was a time to recollect, to talk about their journey together of what it took to ultimately heal the son. So we have two different possibilities. One is to show a chesed of Hashem, and the other is for Klal Yisrael, who was going through a cleansing. It was an opportunity to remind Klal Yisrael throughout the various stages of their recuperation process, whether it's a spiritual recuperation or whatnot. So I want to share with you a third answer given by the Eish Tamid, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Druck. And he says, and he wants to use the Parshas Bahaloska. He says, if you look in Parshas Bahaloska, the Torah describes to us in great detail the order of travel and encampment of Klal Yisrael based upon the Anan, on the cloud. The question, though, that he asks is, why was it necessary? Why was it necessary to come and tell us that if the cloud was there 5 days, then it'd be there 5 days, sometimes it'd be there 2 months, sometimes it'd be a year? Why is it necessary? All you need to tell us is that the masos, the traveling, and the camping were all based upon the Anan. And that's it. To go into great detail, it seems to be extraneous and not necessary. And he asks, Ula'ezet Tzorech Mashmi'a Lonu HaTorah, why is it necessary for the Torah to come and teach us as Kol HaDugma'os, all of the examples, and to expound greatly about the Anan? Why is it necessary? So he explains something very beautiful. He says, and I want to share with you his words. Mevuar, Shehaya Bezen Nisayon Atzum. The Torah is expounding upon the Anan and the stop and the start and the waiting for a week or two or a month. It's a great Nisayon. It was a great test for the Jewish people. Ki Be'etzem, because in truth, any time they came to a stop, lo hayu yodim, they didn't know how long they would remain in that place. Ubekol chania, and every time they stopped and they camped, they needed to once again erect the OL, and they would have to rebuild, and they would have to take apart and then rebuild. V'yitachein shekol zeh yimshach rak v'kama shos u'kvar yitztarchu la'arez mechadash. Now, it would take a few hours, and they'd have to do it again. And then they would leave and do it again. And they never knew how long they would be there. Sometimes it would be for a day, and they would have to do this whole process just for a day. And sometimes it'd be a little bit longer. However, he says, B'nei Yisrael, Aval B'nei Yisrael asu hakol kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. B'nei Yisrael did is exactly as was commanded to Hashem, to Moshe, by Hashem. Al pi Hashem yachanu, val pi Hashem yisol. They camped based upon the words of Hashem, and they traveled based upon the words of Hashem. Without any questions. B'li she'ilos, lama kan kitzasman, lama kan harbezman, why over here a little bit, why over here a lot? Why is it that if it's so short, why do we have to rebuild and take apart? Everything was done al pi Hashem, without any questions or grievances against HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, he explains, that is precisely why the Torah in our parsha comes and enunciates all the various masos. Because those various masos, those travels and those journeys and the camping, etc., it was all done al pi Hashem. So Rashi says it's to show the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or perhaps to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu of their recuperation process. The Rav Druk explains that it is showing the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Klal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael was able to do exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted without any questions. Vayas came. They did as they were told, Al Pi Hashem Yiso, Val Pi Hashem Yachanu. It's there to show the godless of Bnei Yisrael. And that ultimately is explaining Reb Eli Baruch Finkel the discrepancy. On one hand, in our Parshios, we have Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven explaining to Moshe why they want to be outside of Eretz Yisrael, versus the Psukim in Vizos HaBracha explained that the reason why they wanted to be in Eretz Yisrael is because that was where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried, outside of Eretz Yisrael, in that chelek. So which one is it? Explains Reb Eli Baruch Finkel. The real reason is what we learn in Parshas Vizos HaBracha. And that is the reason why they wanted the land outside of Eretz Yisrael is because Moshe Rabbeinu was buried there. But this week's Parsha, they told Moshe Rabbeinu a different explanation. Explains Reb Eli Baruch Finkel, quoting Mefarshim, what are they going to do? They're going to tell Moshe Rabbeinu, oh, we want to have this land because you're going to be buried here. That would be a chutzpah. That would be brazen and bold to tell Moshe Rabbeinu, we can't wait until you're going to die and therefore we want this land. Of course not. But the real reason is that they wanted to be in the presence of a tzaddik. This perhaps is the makor, is the root as to why we go to the Kibrei Tzaddikim. We go to the Kibrei Tzaddikim because they have the ability of bestowing bracha. They understood, because they had so much cattle, they were businessmen. They knew that if Moshe Rabbeinu would be in their chelek, Moshe Rabbeinu's presence, even dead, would give and bestow plenty of bracha upon these tribes. The idea behind this is we know that tzaddikim, afilu b'misasan, even in death, nikru chayim, are still called alive. They knew that Moshe Rabbeinu, the presence of such a tzaddik, would bestow upon them male brachos, plenty of blessing. But that is the DNA of Klal Yisrael. Our decisions that we make, what we do, is based upon our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's based upon Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, Val Pi Hashem Yisov. It's based upon the word of Hashem. Klal Yisrael in our DNA, who we are. We are people that yearn to have a relationship with the Almighty. We are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Am HaNifchar. We are the ones that in our DNA have said Naaseh V'Nishma, that we're going to do and then we'll learn. We have blindly always followed Hashem throughout the ages. We've been willing to risk our lives in order to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, to sanctify the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The travels, the Torah is explaining. It's not extra. The Torah is explaining how much we love and care for that relationship with Hashem. It goes through all the travels to show that throughout those journeys,
and throughout the time that we camped, and then we picked up and traveled, and then camped and picked up and traveled, never did we question Hashem. And even when a tzaddik dies, the reverence that we have for the tzaddikim, because we know that they are our conduit to the Almighty. We know that they have the connection with Hashem that we so yearn for. And B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, we're even willing to be scolded and to be rebuked by Moshe Rabbeinu in order to have that very personal connection with the greatest Jew, Moshe Rabbeinu, even Acher Chaim, because we believe that the tzaddikim afilu b'misasan nikru chayen are still called alive, and they bestow blessing upon us, mole brachos upon us, whether dead or alive. And that was the problem, and that is why Rabbi Akiva was crying. Rabbi Akiva was the ultimate optimist. Rabbi Akiva was the one who always was misachik. But here it was different. Here there was no way to construe this episode any other way except that a Jew would openly and willingly and knowingly take chazer, pork, into their hand with the intent to eat it. That causes Rabbi Akiva anguish. The destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, he can find a silver lining. Rabbi Akiva was always willing and able to find a silver lining. But to see a person, bikavana, with intent, go and defile the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by taking a piece of pork and desiring to eat it. U'kishahaya magia Rabbi Akiva etzal pasuk zeh haya bocha. This is what caused him to cry, because it's going against the teva, the nature of Klal Yisrael. Our nature is to want a connection, is to want to develop a closeness, a bond, a kirvus with Hashem. And for someone to go against the teva of Bnei Yisrael, against who we are as a people, and to actively and willingly be mechalel shem shamayim. For Rabbi Akiva, he couldn't tolerate it. And that is why he was bocheh. Beis HaMikdash destroyed, he'll find a silver lining. He'll laugh. He'll realize that the redemption is coming soon. But for someone hamiskavin la'alos biyado basar chazir, for someone to have intent to take into their hand pork, va'ala biyado, and indeed it came into his hand, al achas kama b'kama, how much more so is an atonement, is a kapara and a slicha needed. And it's for that reason why Rabbi Akiva cries. We're a people that's godlike. We emulate the attributes of Hashem. Interesting. The soldiers just went into Jenin. Not one casualty of theirs, not one civilian died. We are always doing things that emulate the attributes of Hashem. Who we are as a people. We are godlike. We are compassionate. We are kind. All we want is to live our lives al pi Hashem yachanu v'al pi Hashem yisou, that we do everything by the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.